ages. Song 129 on the first. Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Amen. Good singing, Brother Kyle. Could you open up with a word of prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for this day and this church. And please bless the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our second song is song number 254. Whosoever will. Song number 254, Whosoever Will. Song 254, let's sing it together on the first. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. Tis the loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Amen. Good singing. At this time, we'll have our announcements.
Good evening, everyone. The verse of the week is John 1, verse 12. John 1. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's John 1, verse 12. Excuse me. Service times this morning, we're at 10:30, 3:30 this afternoon, 6:30 Wednesday evening Bible study. Sorting times were 12:30 yesterday and 1 p.m. today, and there is 3 salvations today. So, amen. That brings us to a total of 6 for May, 18 for April, for a total of 77 for the year so far. All right. Right now we're in the middle of a Bible reading challenge, which is the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There will be a reward for all those that are able to recite that to be known later, but just to encourage you to get the Bible memory into your mind. Coming up next Friday, May 8th, will be the Soul Winning Marathon at Central Washington University in Ellensburg. Starts at 10:45 a.m. It's about a 2.5-hour drive nonstop to there from here. So just plan accordingly, and hopefully you've RSVP'd so pastor knows how much lunch and who's all going. May 10th, which is next Sunday, is Mother's Day. There'll be a Mother's Day message in the morning, so just invite, bring people. Be nice to have. Excuse me. June 9th will be the homeschool day and at the church building. So if you're going to show up, please RSVP, let Miss Kylie know so she can plan all the events, food, and everything else that she does for those wonderful events. Kids, the memory verse right now is Psalms 59, verse 17. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercies. That's Psalms 59, verse 17. All right, rules and tithe are down below. And let's just, if you have any prayer requests, please let the Thompsons know. They will get it into the bulletin. But with that, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much.
All right, our next Sunday song, number 145, It Is Well With My Soul. As you can hear, Kylie's a bit distracted right now, so we are going to do a cappella. Song number 145, It Is Well With My Soul. Yeah, we're doing the men, women. If you guys are you guys confident in it though? Wait, where's all the women at? Okay, we're splitting it. I know, I'm trying to like, I was gonna say, well, let's just divide it into the sides, but then it's okay, we're gonna get something though. Song number 145. Yeah, we could try the ladies on the first. I'll be with the ladies on the first anyways for the song later. So song number 145. We'll make the most of it. Let's sing it together on the first. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
my soul,
it is well, second. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. On the last, and Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Good singing. This time we'll have our offering. Brother Paul, could you bless the offering for us?
Father, thank you so much for what we have. And Lord, let us always remember that throughout our lives we have challenges, but let us always never choose mammon, but choose to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Welcome back, everybody. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 will be our text this afternoon. And as always here at our church, we read the entire chapter before the preaching. Exodus chapter 20, the Bible reads, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt now not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your eyes, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Brother Paul, could you please pray for the service?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here to hear this chapter read. May we have ears now to hear the message that's been prepared for us, and let us soften our hearts to receive that message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, if you're in Exodus chapter number 20, we'll go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 31, and we're going to come back to Exodus chapter number 20 a little bit later in the sermon. But if you want to turn to Exodus chapter number 1, or Exodus chapter number 31, if we look at verse number 13, where the Bible reads, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto the Lord. Whosoever doth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. So the Bible here is talking about the Sabbath, right? This is a clear commandment from the Bible to keep the Sabbath. And the title of my sermon this evening is No More Sabbath. And basically, I'm going to be proving from the Bible why in the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not observe the Sabbath any longer. Because there's several different groups out there that will teach that we still need to observe the Sabbath, even though that we're in the New Testament. You know, of course, probably the biggest group that would come to mind would be the Seventh-day Adventists, or probably the biggest group that are teaching this doctrine. But there are also other various groups, a lot of Judaizing type groups of Christians that are, you know, they're trying to bring the Sabbath back in alongside of other Old Testament ordinances like abstaining from pork, you know, and these different pictures that were in the Old Testament. They want to bring these things in, and they're basically trying to Judaize Christianity, right? And so, you know, but these different groups, you know, they'll go to the Old Testament and they'll go to verses like this one. And of course, you know, this isn't the only verse in the Old Testament about the Sabbath day. There's multiple that we can see, but I think this is a good one, because this is one that I could easily see them using to be like, see, the Sabbath doesn't end, because at the end of those four verses, it says, look, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. right? And this is that, you know, that right there, that's a phrase that they're going to make hay with, right? They're going to be like, you see, you're unbiblical. You're going to church on Sunday. What's wrong with you? Don't you know the Bible says that it's the Sabbath day? And so, you know, and they'll use this and say, hey, it's a perpetual covenant. Go ahead and turn to Leviticus chapter number 24, though. Leviticus chapter number 24. And, you know, this is particularly interesting for, I would say, the Seventh-day Adventists. Because as far as I know, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they have like a select few of the Old Testament, I don't want to say rituals, but the Old Testament ordinances that they do keep, like they teach people to abstain from pork and whatnot, right? They also, you know, they teach people to be vegetarians, which, not sure where that one came from, but you know, it certainly didn't come from the Bible. Let me tell you that. But you know, they do observe certain other ordinances from the Old Testament. But you know, I'm pretty sure they're not offering stuff by fire, right? You know, they're not like baking bread for the priests or anything like that, like. You know, so you know, I don't know how they draw the line on, you know, which ordinances are throwing out, you know, and which ones they're keeping. But I will tell you this: it's not based on whether or not it said it was perpetual, right? Because we're going to look here in Leviticus chapter number 24 at an ordinance that the Bible says is perpetual that I guarantee you the Seventh-day Adventists are not keeping. Okay, and let's look at verse number five. It says, and thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be, notice this, Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offering of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. Now, notice there at the end of the verse, verse number 9, it says a perpetual statute, doesn't it? Now, here's the thing about these things, right? Now, maybe Seventh-day Adventist is going to come to me and they're going to tell me, oh, no, Jason, we actually do. We bake 12 cakes of bread and we set them 6 in a row and we get out frankincense and we're doing that every Sabbath. But you know what? They're still not keeping this commandment, because guess what it says? The Bible says, remember, this is God's word, right? This is what the Bible actually says. It says, and it shall be Aaron and his sons. Do they have Aaron's sons down there at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, or any of these other groups they're claiming to be, you know, Torah observing or whatever, and they're keeping the old covenant or whatever? Do they have Aaron's sons? No, absolutely not. What else don't they have? Do they have the holy place? Do they have the tabernacle? Do they have the temple? You know, I haven't seen a tabernacle around anywhere. You know, I've driven by Seventh-day Adventist churches. It didn't look like a tabernacle to me. You know what? And guess what happened in 70 AD? Well, the temple was destroyed by Titus. Yeah. Okay? So guess what? It's impossible. But yet, the Bible says here, it's a perpetual covenant. So what's going on? How come we're not keeping this one? Are we just all completely unbiblical and we've all forsaken God's word? No, my friend. It's that these things were there for a certain purpose, right? And here's the thing about it. Is that God said, hey, this is a perpetual covenant. You're supposed to do these things. You're supposed to keep this covenant. But what ended up happening? Did they always keep the covenant? Because guess what? You know, even that temple that was there during Jesus' day, was that the first temple that was there? No, that was the second temple, my friend. The first temple was destroyed 500 years before Christ. And they were taken into Babylon for 70 years, right? And so maybe they built themselves a tabernacle over there, you know, while they were in the Babylonian captivity, and they were actually keeping all the ordinances and whatnot. But I doubt it. And when you read through the Bible, there's large sections of it where absolutely not, they were not observing that Old Testament covenant, right? So it was supposed to be something that's perpetual. Well, guess what? They made it so it wasn't perpetual.
Yeah. It was a perpetual command from God, yes. But guess what? Man didn't. And you know, even the reason why God threw them out of the land and had them taken out into Babylon, why was it 70 years, my friend? To let the land rest for 70 years, because they had not observed the Jubilee, which was supposed to be a Sabbath for the land, right? They just didn't do that for 70 cycles, right? Mm-hmm. Every 7 years is supposed to be, or not? It's not the year of Jubilee, but it's the year of Sabbath, right? Where they're supposed to not grow anything. They're supposed to let the land rest. The year of Jubilee is every 50 years, right?
Yeah.
But that's the reason why it was 70 years, the Lord said. He's like, hey, you guys haven't been keeping the Sabbath. So you're going to be thrown into Babylon. You're going to be taken away into Babylon for 7 years, because I'm going to make sure the land rests. And, you know, we're going to do it the easy way or the hard way. Right? And so God had to make them do it the hard way because they had not kept those ordinances. They had not kept that Sabbath. Right? And so that's why it didn't last forever. It's because people are sinful. People screwed it up. People didn't keep it correctly. It was not possible for us to keep the old covenant. I mean, that's why even Jesus had to come. Right? Why? Because the Bible says that righteousness is not by the law. Why is that? Because that's impossible. That's why. Okay? So in the Old Testament, you see a lot of these type of verses where there's something that God commands the children of Israel to do, and it's supposed to be something that's perpetual. It's supposed to be something that goes through every generation. It's supposed to be something that happens continually. So it's like, well, why didn't it happen? Well, because people didn't make it happen. Because people are sinful. Right? Because they screwed up. And so, but we do realize in the New Testament that all of these things were a picture of what was to come. These things were to be a picture of Jesus Christ. You see, because, you know, God is all-knowing. You know, he wasn't surprised when the children of Israel didn't keep the Sabbath properly. He wasn't surprised when they didn't keep the offerings properly. He wasn't surprised, you know, when they weren't tithing the way they were supposed to, and they weren't keeping the old covenant the way they were supposed to. He wasn't surprised. That was basically part of the plan. I mean, ever since Adam and Eve sinned, the plan was to have Jesus come and redeem the world. And, you know, God wasn't surprised by Adam and Eve sinning, right? So, I mean, it's always been the plan.
Amen.
And so, you know, this was never a surprise to God. But yet, you know, he gave them these commandments to demonstrate our fallibility. Amen. So that's why he called them a perpetual covenant that they were supposed to keep, or a perpetual, a perpetual statute for all generations, is because that's what it was supposed to be. That's what he commanded them to do. But guess what? They didn't do it, right? And so, you know, but that's basically, that just demonstrates, though, that just because it says that it's perpetual and it's something that's supposed to be generation from generation, you know, they don't apply that rule equally. Because they're not keeping the whole Old Testament.
Yeah.
They're only keeping the little parts that they like.
Yeah.
Right? It's their little preference, right? And you know, and if they're keeping the whole Old Testament, talk about a slap in the face to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Because I mean, they're just, at that point, you're just totally rejecting the God of the universe paying for your sins for you. Because you're just like, no, I'm gonna do it my way. I'm gonna refuse Jesus Christ. I'm going to reject him. I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, it is wicked. But go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. So that's one of the arguments that they'll use. They'll be like, hey, it's a perpetual covenant, or it's a perpetual statute that you're supposed to do forever. Right? So how come you stopped? Well, because the time of the Reformation came. That's why. Because Jesus Christ came. That's why. But another argument that they'll use is that they'll say, hey, the Sabbath is in the Ten Commandments. I mean, don't you believe in the Ten Commandments? I mean, does somebody here just reject the Ten Commandments? I mean, it's the Ten Commandments, my friend. How could you not be observing the Ten Commandments, right? And, you know, this is why I had us read Exodus chapter number 20, is because we see here where the Ten Commandments kind of originate from, right? And it says, Exodus 20, verse number 9, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day
It is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we can see it's right there in the Ten Commandments. Amen? Mm-hmm. Commandment number 4. And so, therefore, we just have to observe it from henceforth and forever. You know, it doesn't matter that Jesus Christ came. We still have to observe the Sabbath. But here's the problem with that. Go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 34. I'm going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that just because it's in the Ten Commandments, that does not mean that we need to be observing it today.
Right.
That is a false argument. That is not legitimate. Absolutely false. We're gonna turn to Exodus chapter number 34. Look at verse number 28. Exodus chapter number 34, verse number 28. It says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." So notice, what did the Bible say about the Ten Commandments? He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant. Right? The Ten Commandments. So according to the Bible, what is the Ten Commandments? The covenant, right? Deuteronomy, go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. I'm going to read for you Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Verse number 13, it says, "And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone." So notice, what did the Bible call the 10 commandments there again? The covenant, right? Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 4, it says, "And he wrote on tables according to the first writing, the 10 commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, out of the midst of the fire in the day of assembly, and the Lord gave them unto me." So the Bible here is telling us that the Ten Commandments, it's the covenant. Amen? It's the covenant. And so go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. So in the Old Testament, The Ten Commandments are referred to as the covenant, right? And, you know, why is the Bible referring to it as the covenant? Because it is basically, it's like the 10 biggest things in the Old Testament, right? The 10 biggest laws that God wanted people to keep, right? Because obviously, you know, I can't remember exactly what the number of laws, but there's like 630 or, you know, 600 something laws in the Old Testament that people that were required to be kept in the Old Testament. You know, some were positive, some were negative, meaning some were, you have to do X, Y, and Z, and don't do X, Y, and Z, right? And so, you know, you have a mix of those different types of commandments. But the Ten Commandments, it's like, okay, it's like the cliff notes of the entire Old Covenant. Kind of like, you know, when they asked Jesus, "Hey, you know, what's the most important commandment?" He's like, "Hey, the most important one is love the Lord like thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength or mind." I can't remember exactly which one. And then, you know, he says, "Hey, by the way, the second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. Upon these hangs all the law of the prophets." Right? So that's like a super cliff notes.
Yeah.
You know, my son, he's been like drawing these books, right? And he made this like tiny little book. It's like a 1-inch, you know, square inch page, you know, and you flip through and you see all his little dinosaurs he's been drawing in there. It's like that's like the Cliff Notes version, you know. It's like a tiny explanation of what the Old Testament is, right? Because, you know, there's quite a few laws in the Old Testament, right? It's a big read. But it's like, all right, well, here's what we're gonna get you started with. Here's the Ten Commandments. Start with these, you're gonna be doing pretty well. Right? And hey, if you don't have time for the Ten Commandments, you know, just love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And you're gonna make it a long way, right?
And so, but basically the Ten Commandments is just kind of condensing it down into an abbreviated version, right? And so it's like, hey, this is the covenant, right? But what does the New Testament say about that? It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, look at verse number 6, it says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth. Now remember, this is God's word, right? This is what God told us. So we better be taking it seriously. It says, but the Spirit giveth life, but the ministration of death, written and engraved in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the minister of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of glory that excelleth. For if that which is, notice this, done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So notice, what was it that was done away with? But that ministration of death. And where was that ministration of death written? It was written and engraved in stone. Now let me ask you this. What was engraved in stone in the Old Testament? The Ten Commandments. And so what is done away with in the New Testament? The Ten Commandments, the Old Covenant, my friend. And so we are not required to observe the Sabbath day in the New Testament. Because guess what? It's the Old Covenant's done away with. We're in the New Testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we don't have to keep all the Old Testament ordinances. Now, does that mean that it's okay to go out and murder people? No, but guess what? The New Testament tells us, hey, do no murder, right? And you know, the New Testament gives us all, basically it re-ups all kinds of things in the Old Testament, right? But guess what it doesn't re-up? Any of the ordinances and basically different things that are not inherently sinful. Now, is working on the Sabbath day, is that actually inherently sinful? Absolutely not, right? And so the Bible here is saying, hey, guess what? You know, the Old Covenant is done away with. And, you know, it says it in a lot of different ways. Because, you know, what the Old Covenant was, it's likening it as to Moses when his face shone, right? So Moses, he goes up into Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's with God, he's communing with God. Basically, the Ten Commandments get written on stone. He comes down. They literally have to put a veil over his face because they can't look at him, because he's like blinding them because of his face is shining, right? Now, here's the thing about that. Was Moses' face shining forever? Or did it cease to shine? It ceased to shine. That's a picture of the Old Covenant, my friend. That's a picture of keeping the Sabbath. It ended. Moses' face didn't shine forever, right? And so his glory ended. And how much greater is God's glory than Moses' glory, right? And so, you know, the glory of Moses was supposed to point to the glory of God, right? I mean, what did Jesus say? He said to the Jews, hey, you don't believe Moses. For if you had believed him, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Yeah. Right? So Jesus, Moses, he's supposed to be pointing to Jesus.
Right?
Right? He's supposed to be showing he's supposed to be like John the Baptist, making the way of the Messiah straight. Right? Pointing to Jesus Christ. And so that was the whole point of the Old Covenant. That was the whole point of people, you know, keeping the Sabbath. It's supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ and him coming and paying for our sins and us, you know, and we'll go over this later in the sermon, but obviously us resting in him while he did all the work for our salvation, right? And so, you know, this is something that is not debatable. You know, it's not like a gray area or anything like that. Now, you know, if somebody, for whatever reason, they just wanted to, like, take Saturday off and they just didn't want to work on Saturday, that's one thing. But the problem comes in where people say, hey, no, this is the command of God.
Right.
No, this is not the command of God. Jesus came, and if you're commanding to keep the old covenant, that is blaspheming God. And God is not happy with people blaspheming him and trying to keep the old covenant around when he already got rid of it. He already has done away with it. Okay. And again, you know, I mentioned, like, this is what the Bible says. This isn't me making these things up. The Bible says, for that which is done away was glorious, much more than that which remaineth is glorious, which means it's done away. Okay? All right, so go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. This is going to be a real Bible-heavy sermon. I mean, I usually have Bible-heavy sermons, I feel like, but I've got 6 pages. I got 6 pages of notes. Normally, I have like 3, maybe 4. So I got 6 pages, but I have large blank spots. So don't get scared, as Remy would say. All right, Hebrews chapter number 13. The Bible says, "In that he saith." Verse number 13, by the way, Hebrews 13:13. It says, "In that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Right? And so, you know, once again, the Bible here is saying, hey, look, we have a new covenant. We have a new covenant, we have a new testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which means that the old one is gone. It's done away with. I mean, we don't need to be sacrificing lambs anymore. You know, we don't need to be observing times, and we don't need to be keeping the Passover, and we don't need to be doing all these different Old Testament holidays. We don't have to do that stuff anymore. You know, we're in the New Testament. You know, there's a couple different ordinances that we're taught to keep in the New Testament. You know, the two big ones are obviously baptism and the Lord's Supper. Right? And here's the thing about those two things. Baptism happens one time. Amen? Yeah. So one time you get baptized, you know, and then the Lord's Supper, the Bible does not give any type of timetable for keeping it. It just says, as often as thou. So if we, you know, pretty sure we're not going to be doing this ever, but if we wanted to keep the Lord's Supper every single service, the Bible doesn't say anything against that. Now, you know, we're not going to do that. Because we want to take the Lord's Supper, obviously, very seriously, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're not like a bunch. We're not a bunch of Catholics in here, you know, doing it as a ritual every time we come in, and basically watering it down, in my opinion, and degrading it. And of course, you know, they're not actually keeping the Lord's Supper. They're blaspheming Christ every time they do it.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no timetable for it. So if you want to do it on a Tuesday, it's fine. If you want to do it on a Thursday, it's fine. If you want to do it once a month, if you want to do it twice a year, you know, once a decade, if you want to do it like the census, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about that, right? It says, as often as thou do it. And so there's no timetable. So guess what? You don't have to do it on the Sabbath. You can do it whenever you want. Why? Because in the New Testament, we're not observing times. We're not looking at the calendar. We're not trying to figure out when the next full moon is. Okay? We're not doing that kind of stuff in the New Testament. Go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And the New Testament, not only does it say, hey, the Old Testament is done away with, the New Testament directly says we're not supposed to be keeping the covenant anymore. Or, excuse me, we're not supposed to be keeping the Sabbath anymore. It says, we're in Colossians chapter number 2, look at verse number 10. It says, "And ye are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in
putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. By the way, that's a great verse right there. He's forgiven you all trespasses if you trust him, right? It says, blotting out the handwriting of, notice this, ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, notice this, let no man therefore judge you in meats or in drink or in respect of an holy day, notice this, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, Seventh-day Adventists and these, you know, these other different groups, like these Hebrew roots people that are observing the Sabbath and they're abstaining from pork and these different things. If you point these verses out to them, they'll be like, well, no, those verses are telling you to let no man judge you when you're keeping the Sabbath. You know, they're like, hey, we're keeping the Sabbath and you're judging us for that. And so the Bible's on our side because, you know, we're not going to let you judge us because we're keeping the Sabbath. Which is the complete opposite of what the Bible actually says. Because if we notice, you know, earlier in the chapter, you know, he's saying, hey, guess what? You're circumcised with a circumcision without hands, right? And what is a major problem, you know, that was going on in early Christianity? A bunch of Judaizers, right? Running around trying to get people to get circumcised. I mean, that's like what the whole book of Galatians is about, right? Judaizers coming in, trying to circumcise people and trying to preach a false doctrine about salvation and you have to keep the law in order to be saved and all this garbage. But he's saying, hey, guess what? You're circumcised without hands. But notice this, you know, it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like the old covenant, right? Which he's blotting out, right? I mean, that handwriting of ordinances, I mean, that is all the ordinances in the Old Testament that were a representation of Jesus Christ for him to come. That's what that is talking about. Amen. The handwriting of ordinances. And notice this, it was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. So Jesus, he took those things out of the way. And according to the Bible, the Sabbath is part of one of those ordinances. Amen? I mean, it's part of the Old Covenant. It's part of the Old Testament. And so those things are taken away. And it says, you know, because those things are taken away, we no longer have to observe any of those things.
Right.
We no longer have to abstain from pork. We no longer have to, you know, eat only the clean animals, you know, that part the hoof and chew the cud, right? You know, we no longer have to worry about what stage the moon is in, right? You know, we don't have to worry about, you know, any of these holy days. You know, the New Testament doesn't command us to observe any holidays.
Right.
You know, there's actually no command to celebrate Christmas.
That's right.
There's actually no command to celebrate Easter, you know. We do those things because there's nothing wrong with celebrating Easter and there's nothing wrong with celebrating Christmas. And I think they're very positive, healthy things to do. And, you know, I'm not going to let any man judge me for celebrating Christmas or Easter. And I'm going to call it Easter. I like calling it Easter. You know, that's my favorite thing to call it. I'm going to call it Easter till the day I die. If nothing else, to just to tick off the people like, oh, it's Resurrection Day. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with calling it Resurrection Day either. That's a good term. But, you know, anyway, I'm going to get off on a rabbit trail there. But, you know, but Christians in the early church, right, there's all these Jews that are judging them for eating pork and for not keeping the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. And so that is what this passage is actually talking about. And further proof of that, look at verse number 17, right? Because it lists off all these things. It says, hey, let no man judge you therefore
judge you in meats or in drinks or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, right? The Bible says, hey, don't let anybody judge you for that. They're going to say, oh, no, that means when we keep the Sabbath, you're not supposed to be judging us. And in fact, you're supposed to be keeping the Sabbath with us. But what does verse number 17 say? It says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, if we're supposed to be keeping the Sabbath in the New Testament, what is it a shadow of? What future event are we foreshadowing here by keeping the Sabbath? And keeping the new moon, by the way, and also, you know, abstaining from pork and, you know, having drink offerings, right? And respecting all these holy, keeping all the old. What's going on here? What's it a shadow of? Nothing. Because you know what these things are a shadow of? They are a shadow of Jesus Christ. Because guess what? The thing that these are a shadow of came. It's happened already. Jesus Christ came. He did the work to pay for our sins. And we simply rest in him.
That's right.
That's what it's a picture of. That's what it's a shadow of. Because otherwise, what are we waiting for? I mean, what is this? What is the point of the Sabbath in the Old Testament or the New Testament when the Bible says it's a shadow of something? What's a shadow of? I don't know. Nobody knows. We're still trying to figure it out. Science has yet to figure out what the Sabbath is a shadow of because we have no idea what it is. Because we're still observing it, and we're just ignoring the obvious fact that it's a picture of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we don't believe God's word when he says, hey, let no man judge you when you don't keep any of these things anymore, because those things are done away with. Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4.
I'm
out of the water. It's rough preaching without water, so, you know. A lot of times I'll just like forget, you know, during the whole sermon to ever ask for water. And by the end, I'm like, I can't even open my mouth anymore. But Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 8, it says, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. So notice here in Galatians chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to them, and he's telling them that he's afraid of them because they're observing days, months, times, and years. Now, what would really be similar to that? What would be an observation that people do that would make the Apostle Paul afraid? Observing the Sabbath, right? Because isn't that observing a day? That's observing a day. That's observing a time, right? And so the Apostle Paul, he's saying that he's afraid of them. And you know what? Anybody out there that is observing the Sabbath day, I am afraid of them. That puts an automatic doubt on somebody's salvation when they're observing the Sabbath. It's like, do you believe in the New Testament? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why are you trying to keep the old covenant? I'm afraid of you. Just like the Apostle, I mean, this is a biblical thing because the Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm afraid of you. You know, what's going on? And people say, well, you know, these are just like unbiblical things that they're observing. You know, they're observing, you know, all these pagan holidays and these pagan times and these, you know, they're into paganism. That's what he's worried about. Not so, my friend. This is the book of Galatians.
Yeah.
This is Galatians 4. Now, what is the entire book of Galatians about? It's about the Apostle Paul proving replacement theology, my friend. I mean, he starts out in chapter number 1, they're preaching a different gospel. Chapter number 2, they're trying to circumcise people. Now, do the heathen circumcise people?
No.
Is circumcision something that the pagans observe?
No.
Is that something that Hindus observe or Buddhists observe or people that are worshiping Zeus? you know, and Saturn, and, you know, they're worshiping Jupiter, right? Are they circumcising anybody?
No.
Absolutely not. So what is the problem in the Galatians church? It's Judaizers.
Yeah.
People creeping in, trying to bring in the old covenant.
And notice he says he's bringing them back into bondage. And there's a huge theme in the New Testament of the New Testament bringing freedom from bondage.
Now, what is that freedom from? That freedom is from the old covenant. Because, you know, the old covenant was that yoke of bondage that was put upon the nation of Israel. And it was put upon, you know, the Jews in the Old Testament, that they were supposed to be keeping the law. And by the way, they're supposed to keep the whole law, right? And when you're breaking the law, it's like major problems, right? And so, again, what was the point of all that? I mean, the whole point of the law in the Old Testament is to show you that you're not perfect.
Right.
And that you need to trust in the Lord for your salvation, because guess what? You can't keep the law.
Right.
Now, you know, obviously, you know, even in the New Testament, you know, we can't just do whatever we want, right? You know, it's not like, well, the entire law of God is completely null and void, and we don't have to observe any of it. There's no such thing as sin anymore. No, that's not true.
That's right.
Because all of the Old Testament laws that pertain to morality are still in effect.
Amen.
Thou shalt not murder.
Yeah.
You know, thou shalt not covet. You know, and the New Testament reiterates, like, a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the moral law is still in effect. And sin is still the transgression of the law.
That's right.
But guess what? That old covenant, which was supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ, is null and void.
That's right.
It's been done away with.
Yep.
It's gone. And so, you know, whenever people are trying to go back to that, you know, that's like an automatic major red flag.
Yeah.
You know, and look, here's the thing. Like, theoretically, you could have somebody who's saved get mixed up into some of these things. That's certainly a possibility. That's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, if somebody's observing the Sabbath, that doesn't automatically mean they're unsaved.
Amen.
But it's a red flag, and it means that they're unlearned in the Bible, and they don't know what they're talking about. But here's the thing. The people that are spreading and teaching this doctrine, like the architects of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the architects of the Hebrew Roots movement, you know, these people are unsaved.
Oh, yeah.
And they are false prophets.
Amen.
And they are wicked people. You know, people like Doug Batchelor, you know, basically he's like an apologist for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And, you know, he runs around trying to disprove the Bible almost every time he turns around. You know, whenever there's a Bible doctrine that flies in the face of what the Seventh-day Adventist Church is, you know, they go through all, you know, they go through all kinds of mental gymnastics to get around clear verses in the Bible, right? And, you know, these are wicked, evil people that deceive the simple. And, you know, particularly with the Sabbath, you know, what's the obvious thing they're going to do? They're going to go hang out in the Old Testament, where you have all these powerful verses commanding the children of Israel to keep the Sabbath, right? And they're going to want you to do that same thing. Why aren't you doing that? You don't believe the Bible? What's wrong with you? Well, they're skipping over the whole New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll get back to that here in a little bit. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Go ahead and turn to John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. And so, you know, we've talked about, you know, in various different places in the sermon. You know, what the Sabbath is all about. And, you know, according to Jesus Christ, you know, who is it that's supposed to be keeping the Sabbath? Right? And I'm going to demonstrate that here. It says in John chapter number 5, look at verse number 16, it says, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answers them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." So what is it that Jesus said about him and God the Father? What are they doing on the Sabbath? They're working.
Right.
Why? Because guess what? God's not the one that has to keep the Sabbath. We were the ones that were supposed to be keeping the Sabbath in the Old Testament. But guess what? We also keep the Sabbath in the New Testament. And I'm going to demonstrate that. Because guess what? As Bible-believing Christians, as saved people, we actually do keep the Sabbath. But these Torah-observing people, these Hebrew Roots movement people, these Seventh-day Adventists, they reject the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Because what is the whole point of the Sabbath? Again, the whole point of the Sabbath is that we are supposed to cease from work. We're supposed to stop working. And what is that supposed to represent? That's supposed to represent what we do for our salvation. Do we do any works for our salvation? No, not one. And that is why, and we read one of these verses, one of these commands in the Old Testament where it's the death penalty for breaking the Sabbath. Now that's a pretty severe punishment, isn't it? The death penalty. You're telling me that if you work on the wrong day, you get the same penalty as a murderer and a homo? What? Why? That makes no logical sense. Well, here's why, though. It's because it represents people rejecting God for their salvation and doing and trying to work their way to heaven. Because what the Sabbath has always represented is salvation.
That's right.
The fact that Jesus does the work. God did the work. We don't. We don't do any work for our salvation. God did it all.
Amen.
And if you're trying to earn your salvation by working and paying for it, God's going to give you the spiritual death penalty.
Yeah.
And you will not go to heaven. He will not receive your offering. And so all these different groups that are teaching to keep the old covenant, they're teaching to keep the commandment, what do they always have in common? Works-based salvation.
Amen.
They're teaching works. Hebrews chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So, you know, people can hear the gospel all day long, but if they don't put their faith in it, does it profit? No. It doesn't profit them because they didn't put their faith in it.
Right.
It says, for we which have believed do enter into his rest. Notice, we which have believed.
Yeah.
Right? Not he who has kept the Sabbath, not who has kept the old covenant, not who has been a really good person, not who has kept all the commandments of God and followed him and gave their life over to Christ. No. It's he which have believed do enter into what is it?
Rest.
Yep. They're entering into rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They didn't enter into his rest because of unbelief. If only they had just kept the Sabbath the way they were supposed to. Wrong. It's because they didn't trust God. That's why they didn't enter in. That's why a lot of children of Israel from the Old Testament, a lot of them went to hell. Probably most of them. Why? Because of unbelief. They didn't trust God. They're like, no. We're going to go to heaven because we kept the law. Do you see how awesome we kept the law, God? I mean, we did this sacrifice and that sacrifice. And did you see how awesome that lamb was? Not a single spot. We went over that thing with a microscope. Not one hair on that little lamb was the wrong color. This is going to be the best sacrifice ever. People are trusting in that. They went straight to hell, my friend.
Yeah.
That lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ.
Right?
That lamb that Abel brought that pleased God, that was a picture of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
and a picture of his blood. That's why it's a blood sacrifice. It's a picture of Jesus Christ's blood. You know, Cain, he's bringing his vegetables, the work of his own hands, right? That's like saying, hey, God, I kept the Sabbath. I did all the animal sacrifices. I kept the old covenant. I kept the law. My righteousness came by the law. Death penalty. Spiritual death penalty for that. Not saved. Not going to heaven. It says, what verse was I in? Does anybody know?
Yeah, you are in the end of verse 6. So
end of verse 6. I'm glad Brother Ryan's paying attention. Everybody else is nodding off. That's okay. I've got Ryan to help me out. All right. It says, again, verse number 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased, notice this, ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You see, that's why God ceased from his works, so that it could be a picture of what we were supposed to do for our salvation. We're supposed to cease from our works. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after that same example of unbelief. And look, you know, the verse number 11 is so funny to me. It's like, you know, all of these different Judaizers are out there. They're like, we're resting on the Sabbath to enter, to get into heaven. And we're earning our way to salvation because we just obeyed God. We obeyed God and kept all the commandments, including the Sabbath. And we're gonna enter into God's rest when we go to heaven. Yeah. And it's like, I was like, hey, you know, why don't you labor to enter into the rest? Why don't you forget about the Sabbath and start working on the Sabbath and forget about your stupid righteousness, which isn't going to get you anywhere but hell. Why don't you labor and enter into his rest? How about you do that instead? Instead of thinking that you, I rested on the Sabbath day, God, I'm gonna make it into heaven. No, why don't you just forget about that? Why don't you just forget about your own righteousness, forget about your, you know, your works that you think are getting into heaven and keeping, including Sabbath keeping? Why don't you just go ahead and work on the Sabbath, forget about that, and enter into his rest? Because guess what? You know, you can have an eternal Sabbath. You can never work again, right? Or you can work every single day of your life. Once you're saved, you're going to heaven. Why? Because your work has nothing to do with it. That's why it's called rest. That's why it's called having entered into his rest. So whether or not I observe the Old Testament Sabbath or not, I'm already in rest. I'm in a state of rest. Okay? Why? Because I'm not working to go to heaven, my friend.
Amen.
I'm relaxing. I'm like on a beach chair in Jesus' hand.
Yeah.
And he's like my escalator taking me up to heaven. I'm just relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm laid back. I've got a coconut, but it doesn't have any coconut juice in it because that's an abomination. You know, it's got like something else in there. It's got like apple cider or something, right? You know, I'm sipping on there. It's got the little mini umbrella to, I don't know why that's in there, but you know, I'm just relaxing, right? I'm resting. Because guess what? I don't have to worry about keeping the law to go to heaven. The only thing I got to worry about is hopefully God doesn't spank me too hard before I go to heaven. You know, and how do I avoid getting spanked by God? Well, I just, you know, I keep all the commandments that are required of me in the New Testament. But guess what? Sacrificing animals, doing burnt offerings, making loaves of bread, sprinkling frankincense, and keeping the Sabbath is not one of them.
Amen.
It's not one of them.
Right.
So let us labor to enter into his rest. And guess what? Once we're in that state of rest, you know, we're on our way to heaven. We don't have to keep any of the laws. That's why it's called rest. And that's the whole point of the Sabbath in the Old Testament. But go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 5. Exodus chapter number 5. You know, I haven't been too long. We're almost to the end of the sermon. Exodus chapter number 5. But the Bible, you know, this just popped out at me when I was reading this here a few weeks ago. And you know, this like just kind of jumped off the page at me. And this is, you know, I'm going to show the attitude of people that are teaching you have to observe the Sabbath. This is their attitude right here in Exodus chapter number 5. It says, verse number 1, it says, "And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' Notice this. And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work? Get you unto your burdens.' And Pharaoh said, 'Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them to rest from their burdens.'" You don't want to keep the old covenant anymore? You need to get back to the old covenant. You need to get back into the burden. Get back under the yoke of bondage. What are you trying to go and rest for? You're trying to relieve people from the burden of the old covenant? Get back to your Sabbath keeping. Get back to your sacrifices. Get back to your Old Testament rituals. What are you doing trying to get away from that? Who is the Lord? Who is Jesus? What's the New Testament? Never heard of it. Get back to the Sabbath. Get back to the Old Testament Sabbath keeping now. This is the same attitude that the attitude that Pharaoh had for letting the people go. I mean, we're looking at the Jews and the Judaizers and the Seventh-day Adventists. We're like, hey, let the people go. Stop teaching them lies.
That's good.
And just stop making them be vegetarians. Like, this is, you know, what in the world? What a burden.
Yeah.
Stop. Let my people go. Right?
That's good.
Let us rest from our burdens. And that's what the New Testament's about, my friend.
Yeah.
It's about getting out from under the oak of the Old Testament and getting under the New Testament, where it's you know, obviously salvation has always been easy, but we're no longer required to keep all those Old Testament ordinances. It's not required.
Yeah.
And I would say it's extremely evil and sinful to teach that God still wants to keep those things. That's wrong. That's evil. And so they have the same attitude as Pharaoh in the Old Testament. He wants to keep people under the burden, right? But in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the principalities of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Right? So, you know, we're supposed to repent of our dead works. And, you know, these people, they believe that they're going to heaven because they've kept all the commandments of the Lord. And that, you know, they believe they're going to heaven because of what they have done, and they have rejected the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They need to repent of those dead works and simply rest in what Jesus Christ did. You know, and they need to throw off that yoke of Pharaoh. You know, these Judaizers, you know, they want to pretend like they're, you know, they're the God's chosen people or whatever. No, you're more like Pharaoh. You're like Pharaoh trying to put God's people into bondage. You know what? And it's in the New Testament, it's a lot easier to get out from underneath the yoke of Pharaoh than it was for them. I mean, God had to bring in a lot of firepower to get Pharaoh to let them go, right? I mean, all kinds of plagues. I mean, it's crazy. Like, you know, there's flies coming in. There's just frogs popping up everywhere. You know, all the cattle are getting wiped out. You know, there's locusts and thick darkness for 3 days. It's like all kinds of crazy stuff is going on. Everyone's firstborn son just gets killed. All the animals firstborn get killed. It's like, this is insane. Fiery hail? Like, what? what is this? But in the New Testament, you know, these people that have been put under the yoke of bondage by these false prophets, it's a lot easier because all they got to do is find out what the truth is and leave.
Yep.
That's all they got to do.
Man.
They got to just stop
going to these Hebrew roots type movements. These, you know, I don't know if they call them churches or whatever they call them. I don't know. But they need to disassociate. They just disassociate themselves from those people. You know, Seventh-day Adventists, they just got to stop going to Seventh-day Adventist church and go to a Baptist church.
That's right.
Where there's actual real Bible doctrine being taught. And, you know, everything isn't just the complete opposite of what the Bible teaches. And so, you know, it's a lot easier in the New Testament to get away from Pharaoh. But, you know, that's what people have to do, though. You know, they got to get away from Pharaoh. These Judaizers, I liken them unto Pharaoh. Get back to your burdens. No, no, my friend. I've entered in his rest. I'm resting in what Jesus Christ did. And so I'm observing the Sabbath 24/7. And so, but, you know, unfortunately for, you know, these other groups, they've never actually observed a real Sabbath in the New Testament. Because if you actually observe the Sabbath in the New Testament, that's by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And getting saved and entering into rest. Well, let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the new covenant that you've had for us. And we thank you that Jesus Christ did come and that he died and he was buried and that he rose again 3 days later. And by doing that, he started the New Testament and the new covenant of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and that we no longer have to observe times and weeks and observe meats and drinks. And Lord, we just thank you that salvation is free and that we can just enter by having rest, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good sermon, Brother Jason. Our last sermon is on number 12. Song number 12, Blessed Redeemer. Song number 12. Song number 12, let's get together on the first. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. And while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, blinded and seeding, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Amen. Good sermon. Brother Jason again. Brother Ryan, would you close with a prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for this church and everyone here today. Lord, I thank you that we entered in your rest by faith. And And I just pray, God, that you will take us home safe tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.